I forget how we start. How do we start? This is the M6P with your host, Andy Kirby.
And Jared Mayo.
I think the last time that we recorded was in September of 2022. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think Reagan was still in office. It's been a little while.
You can't make me laugh, man, and I'll be coughing up a lung.
Did you say 2020?
2022.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in September. I was looking back through our Skype messages, and that's what came up.
That's insane. Where have we been?
Where haven't we been, Jared?
Much better question.
Okay, bro, I am dying to hear about, I don't know if you're willing to talk about it, but you've been doing some crazy stuff lately. Maybe some changes in the old job, and I saw you recently, which is fantastic, and you looked like you had two little baby heads on your shoulders.
Baby heads on my shoulders?
Yeah, muscles.
That is a new one. I've never heard that before. I mean, a lot has changed for both of us in a year, you know?
Yes, yes. Now, I have to say, for listeners, we had tried to record before this. Yes. We were not super diligent, let's be honest, and that is primarily my fault. But we tried one time so much to record. We tried like three different times, and the internet just kept going out over there in Africa, in Togo. And the internet had been on for like 3 weeks straight, and I was like, we can do this. And then immediately when we hit record, the internet went out. It was amazing.
Yes, we got like maybe 5 minutes of prime time good stuff.
And then we got frustrated and had a big fight and that's not true at all. That's not true at all. So, man, what's been going on with you?
Well, yeah. So when I saw you, it was the week of my bodybuilding show. My hormones were all over the place, like insane. So you were here and I was just in a terrible mood. Like, I never get to see my best friend and he's here and I am just a jerk. So I look forward to seeing you again in person when my hormones are good to go.
Dude, you say that you were a jerk, but like, you did the number one thing that people don't really do. Like, you asked meaningful questions and follow-up questions and really cared about what I had to say with regards to my time over there in Togo. And that's not something a jerk would do, man.
Well, I mean, you have great stories, but we also recorded some video for YouTube, which I've not gotten around to yet. And I was just testy. I was just so testy. And it was one of those things that you just, like, you can't control it almost. You know, Jennifer and I, we went on vacation after the show. And, like, my estrogen was so high, I was just crying all the time over nothing. It was just insane. She counted 17 times one day.
Wow. It was one day?
One day. I would just be like, I would see even someplace I cried, and I'm like, I cried over there. it was way too much. So,
do you remember that movie with Brendan Fraser? And I can't remember the girl, but it's like, I can't, is it Bedeviled or something like that? Where like she turns him into different people. It's a really stupid movie. do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
Okay. So like he turns into like a jock to get this girl, and like then he's stupid, and then he's like, no, I don't want this, and then he turns into like a really smart person, but the girl's turned off by him or something, and so then he turns into a really sensitive person, and he's like talking to the girl, and he's watching the sunset go down on the beach, and he's just like crying, and then eventually he's just like, why won't that sun go down?
That was me. I was crying about the sun.
Dude, I have been weepy over the past several years as well. I don't know if it's hormones or just like the experiences we had or what, but my kids, Felicity was like, there's nothing worse than a grown man crying. I'm like, stop talking to me.
And then that made you cry.
She hurt my feelings.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think if I didn't have electricity or hot water, I would probably cry too. I think you've had a pretty wild past 4 or 5 years.
It has been. So do you, I don't want to keep pestering you, but do you want to talk about your job? Do you want to talk about the bodybuilding competition and your health and all that, or no? Oh,
sure. Yeah. No. Cause I mean, I worked really hard, to do it was going to be my last bodybuilding show. I was officially retiring October 7th and, worked my bub kiss off. This is the hardest I'd ever worked. And, I looked great. I'll admit it. I looked great. I was.
You did. You looked
my whole life.
You looked amazing for sure. And actually, I got scared one time because I saw Jennifer walking with this giant muscular guy with his shirt off when I pulled up to the house one of the days, and it was just you going for a walk.
I was trying to get my last minute cardio in, you know.
Yeah. You don't have to do the cardio with clenched fists, though.
it was all the testosterone and estrogen all over the place.
Dude, let me cut in here for a second. There was a girl who went to a missionary demo thing that we were hosting, and apparently, this is so sad. I doubt she's ever going to listen to this, but I still feel bad about it. I didn't recognize her, and we didn't run in the same circles at all, so why would I? But she knew you, and she knew all about your competition and everything, because she was following you on Facebook.
That's crazy.
I was like, wow, you know Jared? And she's like, you know Jared? I was like, well, I mean, I'm pretty much best friends with the guy. obviously trying to impress her.
Oh my gosh. So I did the show. The what?
So then what happened?
Yeah. So I took home a first place and I took home a second place. And I was thoroughly happy. Very, very happy. So then the next day, you know, you kind of have your cheat meal and you eat some ice cream and pizza, and we got chicken and waffles. But my body definitely felt weird. And then Monday I was scheduled to do a photo shoot, but I was very puffy and bloated. I'm like, did I really eat that much? I don't think I did, but my abs are gone. And you need to have abs for your photo shoot. So I postponed my photo shoot to Tuesday, and I cleaned up my eating. And then Tuesday came around, and I was still puffy, but it's like, that's just crazy. But I've got this photo shoot. We're going to go do the pictures and everything. And I had put on 25 pounds in 3 days.
Whoa.
That's just not normal. I wasn't eating that much. So it just stayed, and then it started to, some pain came along with it and fatigue, and this is just crazy. So I talked to my trainer, and he had a couple things for me to try. I tried those, but then it just became like excruciating pain, like from your toes to your head. So I tried, but I was super bloated, like I couldn't see my veins anymore, and my muscles had pieced out on me. And so I did compression therapy and infrared therapy and sauna therapy. I did massage therapy. I changed my eating, water pills. Like, I tried everything I could think of, and I just could not get any relief. But we were going on vacation to Gatlinburg, so off we went. It was the toughest drive I've ever made in my life. It was horrible. And it's only 5 hours, but it took us 8, I think, because I had to stop and try and get some relief.
Goodness.
It was just insane, Andy. While I'm there, I'm like emailing my doctor, and she said, go get blood work. So I go get blood work because I can't hike. I can barely walk. I couldn't leave the cabin some days. Jennifer drove, and I am a stickler for always driving. So, you know, it was bad if I let Jennifer drive. Yeah. It was just, oh my gosh, one of the worst things in my entire life, how I felt. And blood test came back, and but doctor was off because it was a weekend. Sorry, there's a lot of details to this. And I was actually getting a massage when Jennifer got my numbers on my chart, and she played Dr. Mayo and got to Googling and says, you need to go to the emergency room. And I'm a man, this is going to go away, you know, leave me alone, woman. And she said, no, like we were going. So we went to the emergency room, and they admitted me. What?
In Gatlinburg?
No, we had made it back home.
Okay, okay.
We were supposed to go to Florida the second half of that trip, but I knew I would die. I would not survive. We canceled the Florida leg, which really stunk. Because who doesn't want to go to Florida? Like on the beach with your rocking body, but I had a big old fat bloated body and I felt like trash. Trash panda. So they admitted me for rhabdomyolysis, which is when you, my boss calls it, you were just too manly, Jared. So what it is you just overworked yourself. And say it happens with a lot of athletes, but more so like with like a construction worker that's doing the same motion over and over, like in his arm or something like that. But basically, like your kidneys and liver just can't deal. Well, your muscles start to kind of break down from all the work, and then those proteins can't get out because it's too much, and your liver and kidneys are like, this is way too much. We can't do all this. So they go into like failure, shock.
That's hard, dude.
Your muscles are broken down, and it's easily fixed by various different bags of solution in the hospital.
Yeah.
So they just put me to an IV and they had some special liquids to give me. But the nurse said, dude, like there was a high schooler that this happened to. And his parents just said, rest on the couch for a week. And then he came in the hospital with 106 fever and we had him fully covered in ice and he just did not survive.
Oh,
he's like, God. That's not something you mess with. I'm like, well, it's just been 3 weeks.
Oh my goodness, man.
So it was crazy. And like, I'm saying probably like 90 to 95% recovered, but like I lost a lot of muscle mass. My strength is very low and I'm beat. I'm very tired, but a lot of the things like there were, gosh, I'm really chatty. Sorry. There were spasms. And so those are all gone. I'm not like I can brush my teeth again. I wasn't able to do that. I'd have to rest because I was in my arms were in such pain. I couldn't get my arm up to hold my toothbrush.
Oh my goodness.
Would rest it on the counter and just move my mouth back and forth.
That's terrible.
Like Jennifer washed my hair. Like she was just, I cannot say enough about her. If you don't have somebody like a Jennifer, you should go get one because she literally saved my life. So
goodness. She is very special. Like during my time there and seeing how she was making sure you had everything you needed, this was before you were sick or before you felt sick, preparing for the competition, you know, she's great.
She is. She says, you know, in sickness and in health, and she proved it during COVID when I was on the couch for 21 days and she did it again. I was like, COVID, what? Watch this, rhabdomyolysis, you know? So, and you said, you know, a new job. I started a job during the first week of my rhabdomyolysis.
Nice.
And my boss is really cool and we'd have a meeting and then he'd say, now we have another one. And I'm like, I'm so tired. So he'd say, go take a nap for a little bit and then we can meet later. Like it was very, very accommodating. But I was working as a fatherhood, the men's coordinator for a local pregnancy center. So I'd work with the dads. And so now I do something similar, but at the national level. I'm the fatherhood manager for 1,200 sites in America. So I work with those guys that work on the front lines to try and help their programs be the best they can be and offer resources and connections and tools and all the support that they could want.
When I told Jackie and the girls about the job, and they were just so thrilled and they were blown away. I mean, Deidre and Felicity specifically were like, oh, wow, that is amazing. And that's what he does. And he got this job and he's taking it to a higher level on the national level. They were thrilled, man. And I'm just so happy for you.
Oh, thanks, man. I definitely feel like this is, you know, God orchestrated a bunch of steps to make it happen, and that could be another episode. But it definitely feel really, really good about the move. It's been a blessing.
Good. I was wondering, I haven't asked you how it's been going. I think I asked you one time how it's been going, but then I think that's what you told me, that you were in the hospital.
I know, because I feel like you don't really do much anymore. You just kind of sit around, so I can't believe that you wouldn't have even asked me.
That is all I do. I just sit around. No, we moved back in June. Actually, we made it to the States May 28th.
Woohoo!
We got from Togo, West Africa, after about 4 years out there. And so our term was up and we had to decide what to do. If we were going back to Togo or we're going to a different field, different country. We were approached about the executive director position for Africa about a year ago, actually. Maybe now a year and a half ago. And we couldn't really say anything about it because it was kind of hush-hush. They didn't want to, you know, because the guy who had the position before me, he's been doing it for 23 years. He's been doing this job for 23 years. So it makes a huge impact if he's stepping back and it affects a lot of people. So you have to apologize. I have to apologize. I'm fighting a cold or the flu or something. I apologize. So I'm going to be breathing deep here.
Is it COVID?
I doubt it.
Okay.
No, I think it's lack of sleep and my immune system was lower and then probably caught just something. So June 1st, we closed on a house here in Pennsylvania. So we took a position at headquarters, executive director for Africa for the missions board. And that means that I have right now about 182 different missionary units in Africa that I am over. It's about 16 teams in 10 countries right now. And so what that means is a bunch of work in the office, but also flying back and forth from Africa. And so we just got back from the Gambia. I went to Zambia in October, and I went to the Gambia, which they sound similar, but they're on completely different ends of the continent. So just got back from the Gambia. Jackie and I flew from New Orleans to Dakar, which is in Senegal. And then we had all these are like super long layovers. Like we had a 13-hour layover and then we had a 24-hour layover. And so then we went to the Gambia, Banjul, and then we went across the Gambia River to a little village where we have a clinic, and we talked to our team over there, and then we flew back, and it was about a week with almost 4 days of travel. Ugh. So I flew into Pennsylvania and Jackie flew back down to New Orleans and we split up in Atlanta and she's actually driving the kids back now. They just stopped at a Airbnb. So bunch of travel, but I get to see a lot of different countries and some fantastic individuals. I mean, these missionaries that are there in Africa are really just top notch. It's a privilege to know them. But as you can imagine, tons of meetings. I've had to go preach in Michigan, and I got this week, I think later this week, Friday, Saturday, I have to go to Quebec for a few days to check out a language school there and then fly back. So it's a big hoopla.
Are you enjoying this new role?
Yeah. This role is surprisingly similar to what I was doing before missions work as a director of operations. So it's managing people, it's strategy, it's trying to make sure the right people get in touch with the right people. As an example, like I found a missionary that has curriculum for the Fofolde language or Fula language. And so I took that to a different missionary in a different country to check it out and say, hey, you have a language school, you have a literacy center. Are these dialects similar? Can we send people over to you to be trained and then bring them back to other parts of the field? So it's a lot of those things of trying to see the pieces that we have and then make connections and kind of multiply, take an effort and multiply the yield type of thing. Instead of just adding one person and then adding, like, can we add one person and multiply it by three type of thing?
See. And how do you feel like you're accustomed now back to the U.S.?
I think that doing okay. I miss Togo. I miss home. It is very cold here. So the time in Zambia, I was over there and some of the university students that I was with, they were asking me how I was doing with the heat. And I said, oh, this feels wonderful. And they were like, really? I was like, oh, yes, this is amazing. And then in the Gambia, it was in the high 90s, low 100s, and it felt pretty good also. So coming back here to where it's like the 40s is difficult right now. I think America, you know, it's tough to acclimate, and the kids, you know, the two boys, they keep asking, or every once in a while they'll ask them and be like, when are we going back home, like to Togo? And I'm like, you know, and then Ellie really misses all her friends in Togo. Oh. And Deidre's doing okay. I think Felicity was ready to move on. She's in college, freshman year right now. Which is crazy. Like, we started this podcast. I remember episode 2 is when Deidre, like, slammed her head into the toilet. And she was, like, she was 2, I think.
Gosh.
And now she's a junior in high school. Oh, my God. I feel so old. I recently was told... Okay, I've been feeling old. Let's just say that. I was recently told two things.
Look great.
Yeah, you're very kind. I think I showed you a picture of my 2 driver's license, right?
You did.
The way you're saying that is so funny. So I didn't think I was fat until I just got my new driver's license and compared the pictures. And now it's like, wow, chunky Andy or like gaunt old Andy. So, I forget what I was saying now. I had a guy come up to me, and he was, because I had to grow out my beard to go see some village elders in the Gambia. So I was growing out the beard, because believe it or not, it helps a lot with diplomacy and negotiation.
Wow.
So I shaved when I got back. I look better now. But so I got a lot of white on my chin, on the beard. And I had a guy come up to me and tell me, oh, you know, you're not, it's not bad. I see some white there, but that's okay. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's fine. He was like, well, you're lucky because I started getting white in my early 40s. And so you're doing pretty good. I was like, I am 40. So he told me that I'm doing well because he started going white in his early 40s. And I'm much older than that, obviously. And so I'm only starting to go white now. He basically called me like 45, 47 years old.
No, I was interpreting that as he thought that you looked younger, like you were in your early 30s.
No, then that would be a bad thing, that I would be going gray earlier.
Oh, like, you're right. I'm just stupid. Sorry.
I was mortified.
What a jerk.
Why would you tell me that?
I don't think you look in your mid-40s.
I hope not. I don't know.
No, dude. I think you look great when I saw you.
Ah, you're so nice. I saw, like, the last Bourne movie, Jason Bourne movie, and I think Tommy Lee Jones is in it. And he's got, like, these giant bags under his bags of his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that's where I'm headed, like, you know.
Well, you know you need more sleep. Like, you never are resting. Whenever I text you, there's always some, you know, Godzilla's coming or the kids need to go somewhere. Like, you're never just like, yeah, we've got this relaxing weekend. We have no plans and we're going to watch movies. Never hear it.
That's true. So I've got to be careful what I say because I don't know who listens to this podcast now. But one of my daughters was complaining to me and telling me how. So 2 of my daughters have boyfriends right now. If this is documenting history in life, then right now my freshman in college and my junior in high school have boyfriends. And one of them was telling me how she is trying to tell and explain to her boyfriend how the Kirbys don't do that. We work until 9 p.m. and then we take a break, watch a show, and fall asleep. And then we get up again and we do it all over again. I'm like, I don't know if that's healthy. Like, maybe, you know, maybe your boyfriend has a point of relaxing a little bit.
He does. I think he does. You gotta enjoy the moment.
Yes. And that's why I do this podcast with you,
because it helps. Once a year.
This is my vacation.
All right. Well, good. I hope it's a good vacation for you, man.
So far, it's been great. Okay, so I wanted to tell you a couple things. I don't want to waste time, but I wanted to tell you a couple things. So on the plane, they had the season 41 of Survivor, the new era or whatever.
Mm.
Okay, so when I was at your house, we were watching, I think we watched the second episode of season 42, right?
45.
45? Oh, yes. Wow. Okay. So anyway, the guy was all crying and everything, and he was like, I knew it would be hard, but I didn't know it would be this hard. This is my dream, and, you know. Like, oh my goodness. Well, this season 41, it's just ridiculous. These people are just, like, where did they come from? It just seemed over the top. Like, you look at these people, and they look very normal, actually. The people in 41, I can't remember, 45, they look very normal. But then when they start talking about their lives and everything, you're like, wow, this is like Jerry Springer.
Yeah, the show has definitely changed. That season 41 is the season where Jeff would always call, Jeff Probst, the host, and he would always call in the people to come to the challenge. Come on in, guys.
Yeah.
So he asked that group, does me saying guys, does that offend you? And he was saying it to the person that was trans. And the trans person said, no, that doesn't bother me at all. You can keep saying it. But then the guy who was gay stood up and said, well, that does offend me, though. So now something that Jeff has said for 41 seasons, he doesn't say anymore. And it's not anything huge, but it's just silly. Like that's just what he always says for 45 seasons. He's for 41 seasons. He said, come on in, guys. And I just said, come on in.
Okay. So that is exactly what I'm talking about. Cause I only saw two episodes. So I look at these people and I look at their personalities as presented on the show in these first two episodes of season 41 that I watched on the plane. And I thought, I could be friends with any of these people, like just talking to them, being with them. Like, yeah, I'd like, they seem normal. But then as soon as you start saying the guys thing, like, oh, are we allowed to use this word and everything? It's like, well, wait a minute. Can't we just get along and high five and like be a team and do the challenges? And I mean, I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah. It's not what it used to be.
Nope.
I still want to be on, so I got to make a tape. Okay.
So I had a question about this, and actually Deidre did too. You want to be on, but I cannot get you over to Africa.
True.
How will you do it if you won't even come to Africa with me?
Well, you can tell Deidre to mind her business. And that she needs to respect her elders. So Jeff has $1 million.
Oh.
And he's like, hey, I'll give you $1 million if you come and play my game. Because that doesn't sound creepy.
Hey, he doesn't say guys. He's like, hey, come, I'll give you $1 million.
I think part of it is too, because I've just watched it since season one. And I don't think I used to want to be on it. And then the more I watched it, I was like, oh, I would like to do this. So I'm pretty sure I would get out there and I'd hate it, absolutely. But I'd be able to say, I did it. It's one of those things. Like Jennifer and I were talking, and eventually we're going to get to the comic book part of this podcast. But this might be a good segue. But we were talking about when Jennifer and I were in Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
It was 43 degrees outside, and we were filming outside all day as if it were the spring. So none of us are in winter coats, but there's like freaking snowflakes almost. It was so cold.
Yeah.
But at some, your body just says you want to do this so bad,
yeah,
or badly. You just overcome it. And we remember how cold we were and how freezing we were. But then yesterday we went for a walk and it was 50 and we're like, screw this. This is ridiculous. But and that's why we were talking about it, was because it was just at one point we wanted it so badly. So we just did whatever we needed to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I know how people do multiple seasons of Survivor. One person has been on four times. Like, wow.
Yeah, like to be called back, you know, like, anyway, we don't have to talk about it, but I've watched a lot of Survivor in the past 2 years, I guess. Yeah,
it's so good. It's so good. The first 25 seasons were the best.
I really think that Jeff makes it, you know, like the people are weird and crazy some of the time and, you know, flighty and flaky. And the challenges, I really don't even care. I don't care to watch the challenges. It's more like Jeff's interaction with them and his probing questions. And I think that the editing on that show is pretty amazing. And just the landscapes and everything. I think that's what makes it.
Are you watching it this season?
No, we don't have TV. Like, it's just, we have Amazon. And so I would have to buy it, I guess.
Well, we just have rabbit ears.
Oh, yeah. I guess I got to buy rabbit ears.
Oh, okay. Well, I know Christmas is coming, so if you're really good.
So I watched a couple other things on the plane. So I watched The Flash. Did you watch this movie?
I did not.
It was very entertaining. I thought it was really good.
Well, it's DC.
Well, right. But like DC, some of the DC stuff is just so dark and ridiculous. But this Flash movie was really good, and they're killing the entire, you know, aren't they rebooting everything?
Yeah.
And this is one of the ones that just came out. I didn't watch Blue Beetle, but that looked fun. And I know Aquaman 2 is coming out, which I wasn't a fan of the first one. But I was just surprised how much I liked The Flash. So
interesting.
I watched Mission Impossible 7. I was falling asleep to that, nodding off. This is what Jackie and I tried to do, because it was the flight was 10 hours. And so we started the movie at the exact same time on her seat and my seat. And so we could watch at the same time. And it was kind of like this date, but then I just kept falling asleep. So that was...
It happens as we get older. It's harder to stay awake when the lights are out.
I know. Tell me about it. I felt so bad. I nodded off watching Loki at your house. I felt so bad. I felt like I personally let you down. I woke up, I was like, what happened? What? I just blinked. What happened?
Well, we started watching Loki season 1, episode 3, and not realize. We're like, this looks familiar.
And I believe I said, I've never seen this before. But you and Jennifer were like, no, we've watched this. And I'm like, it's all new to me. So I also watched BlackBerry. This is not a comic book movie, but it's about the BlackBerry phone. And it's kind of like a not a documentary, but a retelling, a true story. Have you watched this movie?
No, never even heard of it.
Oh, dude. If you can stand the language, it's really good.
BlackBerry.
Yeah, it's about the BlackBerry phone.
Oh, I did hear about that.
I watched it twice on two different flights. I was like, just the beginning, the first half of the movie is just so funny to me about how dysfunctional this company is and how this guy came in and cleaned it up.
Hmm. Is it, I guess it was on the airplane. I was going to say, what system is it on?
I don't know. Delta? I don't know.
Delta. All right. I will look on my Delta app and see if I can find it.
All right. So I also, we should do our intro, right? I guess.
Yes.
Okay. Let me see if I remember how to do this. I did not brush up on this. So this is the M6P. Believe it or not, it is a comic book podcast. I forget which ones are ours, man. Like, you can email us at m6plc@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, the M6P. We're on Facebook, which I know, Jared, you are super duper active, right? On that, comparatively.
Yeah, Mr. Darren, he's definitely doing good.
Darren's doing good. And you want to take the rest?
Yeah, so we're also on Instagram. We're on YouTube. We're on all the socials. Just do a search for the M6P. You'll find us there. We also have a website, them6p.com. Just anywhere that you can type in the M6P into a search bar, do that. And we will show up.
Perfect. All right. Well, you can give us a call at 616-755-TINA if you want to leave a voicemail. If you want to text message us, text message the show, leave a voicemail. I just renewed that again. So we are good to go on that. And do we go into our sponsors now?
Yeah. We have our own subscription service for Marvel graphic novels called The Marvelous Box. So you could check out themarvelousbox.com for $25. You get over $100 worth of graphic novels. You can also check out Michael Web Solutions with 1B. Looking for a good SEO company or somebody to design your website, michaelwebsolutions.com is the best. And the last of our sponsors is Community Retail Partnership. They are a discount membership service for Office Depot. You can check them out at crpsavings.com.
Yes. All right. So I also watched The Marvels. I snuck away yesterday in the midst of my, because Jackie's not here. The kids aren't here. So I was trying to get pick up Christmas presents and stuff. Unbeknownst to them. And so I had a Christmas present in the van.
Oh.
I covered it up and I went into the movie theater to watch The Marvel.
Mm.
Now, you have seen this movie?
I have. I was going to ask you if you're a fan of going to the movies alone.
Oh, I don't care. Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. Actually, it's probably more enjoyable because it's way less pressure.
Right. I agree. Absolutely. I mean, you love going with Jackie and I love going with Jennifer, but there are definitely if you're going to go see the blood gore action movie that they're not interested, like Expendables 18, you just pick your time that you want to go, your seat, your snacks, you wear what you want to wear. You can like roll right out of bed. You don't even have to look good. It's just, it's sometimes nice to go by yourself.
I think the last time I went by myself before this was Alien Covenant.
Oh, I've been a little bit.
Only one in the theater.
Kind of like the Marvels?
there was about seven people on that.
Oh, so, man.
Give it to me, man. While I recover and cough up a lung, give it to me.
Oh, okay. So the Marvels is the highly anticipated sequel to Captain Marvel. Unfortunately, it was not sandwiched between Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame. So I don't know that the stakes were quite as high for everyone to go see it. It stars Captain Marvel, of course, along with Photon or Spectrum. She wasn't given a code name from WandaVision. And Ms. Marvel from her television show, Ms. Marvel. Being that, you know, it's just Captain Marvel and also starring two characters that maybe the larger audience didn't know, as well as the Hollywood was on strike during any sort of promotion time for this. It was just a perfect recipe for not being a blockbuster November movie, unfortunately. I didn't notice a ton of promotion for the movie on TV shows. I didn't see billboards or magazine ads, commercials. I saw, I think, maybe one commercial. My wife, who is a huge Marvel fan and knows everything, didn't even know the movie was coming out. Or there was a Marvels movie. So that told me, like, oh, this is not going to be good. And, you know, for me, unfortunately, when I went and saw it, everything was proved correct that the movie was not a good movie. It just was not. It did not land for me really anywhere, but the end credit scene was really the only thing that I enjoyed about the Marvels. So, what about you, Sir Andy?
Remind me what the end credit scene is.
Beast from the X-Men shows up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But it's an alternate reality, right? And it is Kelsey Grammer.
It is Kelsey Grammer. Yeah. Beast shows up. He talks about Charles, and Binary is there, too.
Yeah. So I had a question about, like, I went into the movie thinking that her name was Photon, but then they said Spectrum one time. Did she change her name? What's going on with that?
She said, Ms. Marvel said, how about Spectrum? And she said, no. So right. She never even got a code name.
But in the comics, did she have multiple names?
Yeah, she's been Spectrum. She's been Photon, Captain Marvel. I think she might have had one other name, too.
I am addicted to the Marvel Snap iOS game.
Oh, okay.
And so her name on that is Spectrum. And so that I didn't notice that till after seeing the movie yesterday. I don't know why. I just...
Well, you know, it's unfortunate they didn't give her one. She's just Monica with no name.
Yeah, yeah. So it didn't land for you. What didn't land?
What did land was Ms. Marvel.
Okay.
I just despise the character in the comic books. I remember when you and I reviewed Ms. Marvel number 1 100 years ago, wanting to like it. And I've not liked her character ever since. But this, I'm going to screw up her name, so I'm not even going to say it. The girl that plays Ms. Marvel, I think she just is a wonderful actress. She makes me like the character, that she really is just like jacked out of her mind, that her role model is there in front of her and they're sharing powers and they're in this adventure. So she's trying to be professional, but she really is like, holy cow, this is so awesome. This is fun. And she's kind of, you know, fan geeking out. I get it. I've been around Chris Claremont and I'm the same way, you know? So I really like that. And I love her family. Her supporting cast of family is so good. I just love what they do. And I think Photon Spectrum had a lot of potential, but it was never quite realized. The rest of the movie I did not like. From, you know, Nick Fury being a comedian to the cats saving the day because they eat the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents and then they go, like, what kind of ridiculousness? Captain Marvel's married, but she can only communicate to the people by singing and a dance number. The villain was actually in the right because her planet was destroyed and needed resources because of Captain Marvel. So why is Captain Marvel the bad guy? It was, and what a lame villain with no personality and it didn't take into account anything that happened in Secret Invasion with the Skrulls being on Earth, being told that they have to leave or they'll be murdered. And then Carol's like, hey, I'm going to call a trip for you to go live on Earth. They'll take care of you there. Okay. What?
Yeah.
So those are a couple things I didn't like.
That was like a plot mechanism just to move the story forward. They were like, okay, now we got all these Skrulls. We have to get rid of them, get them out of the story. What are we going to do?
Yeah. And again, isn't that Carol's fault? I thought that she was going to rehome them.
Yeah. I completely agree with you on Kamala Khan. That actress, I thought that she landed almost every single one of her lines. Mm-hmm. She did so well. And I don't know if she did so well in comparison. Like, did she look stellar because the other two were so terrible? Or is she just that good? But I couldn't, like, Captain Marvel, I remember what you said last time. She has no personality. She looks like she was trying to act, but she didn't even. It was just flat. And I think you're right. I saw in this one just so much more. So
yeah, I think she was just miscast. I don't think that Brie Larson is a bad actress. I don't think she's this. I think she's trying too tough to be this tough guy, and that's just not her. She's a softer kind of role character that she can really excel at. I just think she's miscast.
What else is she in that she's famous for?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that as soon as I said that, because I didn't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Okay, so I took notes during
that. Okay. Yeah. Yes, okay. You are a note taker at the movies. I forgot.
Yeah, so I think I did that for one of the X-Men movies.
Can't even relax at the movies. Gotta bring work.
Yeah. Well, I gotta make sure I stay awake.
Yes, that's true.
Like, go in for a 2-hour nap. Oh, it's so refreshing.
Yeah, you wake up and Beast is on the screen. Like, I missed something.
Something happened here. So, okay. The first thing that stuck out to me is the music. Did you ever watch the show Chuck?
No.
Okay. It's the same theme. They use the same chord progressions as the movie Chuck. It was, or the show Chuck. It was very distracting.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
To look that up, see if anybody else noticed that.
Yeah, I would love to know whether or not somebody else noticed that. Can you maybe turn your speaker down a little bit? I'm getting a little feedback that I'm probably gonna have to edit out.
Yes.
Not your microphone, your speaker.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So I said that Kamala Khan and Fury were the best, and it makes sense that we disagree on this, but I thought that Fury and his lines and stuff, he did well. He delivered them well. In this type of movie, I thought that he had some latitude to be a little bit more comedic. I thought that was okay. In like Winter Soldier and Secret Invasion, I want a strong Fury. I don't want him cracking jokes all the time. But in this, I thought it played well. You there?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to jump in or...
Yeah, you can tell me I'm crazy.
I mean, he yelled, Monica's like, I don't know how to do that. And he yells, use black girl magic. Like, Nick Fury said that? Nick Fury, the guy who, you know, infiltrated Hydra, you know, in Winter Soldier. And like, really? That's why he yelled at Monica to use her powers? Come on.
You make a point. Yes. I thought Carol was one-dimensional and emaciated. She looked so undernourished.
Oh.
I felt bad for her. Like, she, like, I don't know what the deal was, if she was told to lose weight or something, but like, she seemed like she needed to eat a couple sandwiches.
Andy.
No, I mean, like, I'm like, seriously, like, for your health, like, you should, don't be super skinny. Like, you know, you need to make sure you're healthy. She did not look healthy.
I hear you.
Okay. I'm not trying to be rude. I've just looked at her and that stuck out to me. I was like, oh, this poor girl, her cheeks go in. Like, she needs to eat. the budget, the special effects budget seemed low budget. It seemed like I was watching like a made for TV movie.
Really? I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Like, I thought that the fight scene at the end where they finally got all the shifting and everything, I thought that looked good. But all the other stuff, like crash landing on the planet and all this kind of stuff, and maybe it was trying to be more goofy, like Guardians of the Galaxy 3 or something, which aesthetically was such a goofy looking film on purpose.
Yeah.
But this one, I felt like, no, you're not trying to do this on purpose. Like, you know, go hard for these things. You know, make it look good, you know?
Mm.
I wrote here again, Kamala had great timing delivering her lines. I just think that she looked like a natural up there.
Yeah, she's great.
The song language is just stupid. Yeah. Just stupid. Don't don't do that. Like, all of a sudden, like, we broke into a Disney princess movie.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? Like, why is that necessary to do, like, a dance? Like, I feel like when you watch TV shows and it's, like, a crime drama or something, but with a comedic spin, they put in there some singing or they put in there some dancing just to show off what the actors can do. And I always feel like that's them saying, hey, I'm trying to break into movies. Can we show a little bit more talent here? You shouldn't need to do that in a blockbuster film. Like, you're already there. You don't have to convince me. You shouldn't have to convince me. Oh, hey, she can. Brie Larson can sing. damn, that makes me want to watch. Remake of The Music Man, or Greatest Showman. Like, no, like, show me a kick butt superhero, strong female lead. That's what I want to see. That's not one dimensional, right?
Right.
I loved the scene where they were training with switching places. I thought that was a great scene, and I thought that was extremely necessary for the movie. If they went into that battle and we didn't see them practicing or them, like, getting better and better and better at it, it just would be completely unbelievable. So I was so happy to see it. And I thought it was well paced. I thought the progression of them, like, dropping the ball and then catching the ball and doing all these things, I thought that was really good. I also thought, if Captain Marvel understood what was going on earlier in the movie, and she seemed like she did, she took a lot of unnecessary risk with Kamala Khan and Spectrum, putting them in danger by doing the switching places thing, you know?
I do. You're right. Totally.
I think I just, that didn't seem her character, unless she's supposed to be a super immature character at this point. I did like that her hair is different. I thought her hair was good.
You're so funny.
Why am I funny?
I liked her hair. Her hair was good. Never thought I'd hear Andy Kirby say that.
No, you know what I mean. Like, she's got that crazy, when Terry Dodson draws her, she's got that crazy hair that they tried to do in, I don't know if it was Endgame or if it were which one it was. But yeah, I think it was Endgame. Like, her hair looked awful, and it was that, like, that mohawk thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So glad they fixed that.
Yeah, no helmet.
She looked, oh yeah, there was one scene where she was, had her weirdo helmet on, and she looked like actually one of the, like, the Serpent Society guys.
A weirdo helmet.
Yeah, I was glad that they only had that one scene. And in that helmet, she did look like a villain. She did look like, yeah, I'm gonna destroy this planet. I thought the combat choreography seemed very slow. And, like, they were not trained. The actors were not trained for it. Like, every time when you rewatch it, when you see Spectrum run, it looks like it takes her so much time to get any momentum. She can't break into a sprint or anything. It was weird. It was like she was, like, lumbering back and forth to run at the bad guy. I'm like, she's going to be killed, like, three times by the time she even makes it there because she's so slow. Did they not, like, you can change camera angles. You can train for this stuff, you know? Like, did none of this happen?
Oh, the stuff you noticed. I didn't notice that.
It looked like she was running in molasses. Anyway.
I will say, when it comes to slow, I don't understand how Captain Marvel couldn't save her at the end. She just kept going and going. I'm like, don't you fly super duper crazy fast? She's not that far away.
Yeah. One thing I thought was weird, talking about flying in space. I think they flew with Goose one time, and they're in space. There's, like, no atmosphere, and his fur is being all pushed back, like, with wind resistance. That's wrong, right?
That's wrong.
Do we watch these movies differently?
No. I just didn't think of that. The wind and the hair and the running.
The running was, it killed me. The villain was weird. She had, like, tooth caps, and, like, I didn't know her name, and I could not look at her and tell how big she was. You know what I mean? Like, she was some amorphous, like, when you look at her close up, you're like, oh, she's tiny. But then when you look at her when the camera's backed up, you're like, I guess not. Like, so there's some disproportionate thing happening here. Like, I can't figure out, is she, like, a big bad villain? Like, is she as big as Ronan, or is she just, like, a mousy, you know, what are we doing here?
I think mousy.
I didn't get a good sense of that. Okay, so the next two things, one is, again, superficial, and one is a question for you, because I just don't understand. So
I just don't understand.
Okay, Spectrum's costume. I love it. I love the color scheme. But did she have, like, a booty skirt?
No, I didn't see a skirt.
Okay, it looked like on her bottom, there There were little shorts flap.
How do you notice this stuff?
Well, I just saw it yesterday. But I mean, like, I saw it and I was like, no, they wouldn't do that. Like, everybody else's bodysuit that looks like that, that's on Sword or wherever, doesn't have that. But then, like, when she was running, they kind of flapped out. And I was like, that's weird. Like, it looked like kind of like a loose volleyball shorts attached to over top of her, you know, skin tight suit.
Well, now I'm wondering, but I mean, I've got a couple pictures of her pulled up, but I don't see any pictures of her from the back.
You're not Googling Spectrum's booty? Yeah.
I know.
That's probably wise. Okay, so you didn't notice that. When you watch it again, let me know.
You're going to make... I got to watch it again?
You have to watch it again. I need this confirmation in my life.
Well, Jennifer has not seen it, so I will have to watch it again.
Oh, she'll love it.
She will hate it. I know she's going to hate it.
Okay, the last thing. Kamala doesn't need the cosmic bands for her powers? I don't understand. So her powers are mutant powers, right?
Yeah.
What is the deal with the band? Like, why does she wear it? What does it do for her?
I mean, they have powers.
Yeah, but does she use them? Did she know that she had powers? Like, I know in the TV series, in the Disney Plus series, it brought her through time. But is she just wearing them just in case she wants to be brought through time again? Or is it decoration? Or, like, what? What does she do with these things?
So I guess I kind of thought that maybe the bands helped accentuate is not the right word, her powers.
Exaggerate?
Amplify, maybe?
Good word.
Yeah. That was my, I guess, I don't know.
I just couldn't understand, like, why she was even wearing them.
Man, the thing, we'll never know.
Yeah, so okay, the ending.
Yeah.
So, obviously, spoilers, we already spoiled this thing. So, what we, are you sending me pictures while we're talking?
Oh, I sent you one picture.
It looks, maybe, I don't know. Okay. Thank you for sending me that picture of the costume. This is what the back of the costume looks like. Okay. Getting distracted here. Okay. So it looks like Kamala Khan is trying to put together the Young Avengers.
Yeah.
Okay. What are your feelings on this? What do you think about this?
I think we all thought it. I think we all knew it was coming. You know, I don't think this is a surprise, is it?
Well, okay. So Iron Man came out in 2008. We're about 15 years into this franchise. And what movie number was this? 27?
Ooh. I don't know. It's in the upper 20s.
Okay. So obviously you have to keep introducing new characters that can have multiple movies and everything like that. So yeah, we kind of knew it was coming just because they want to keep the franchise going. They're not going to do something stupid like DC and reboot everything without a story plot. So what are you looking forward to a Young Avengers?
No, no, not really. I mean, looking at the characters it's going to be, I don't really care for them in the comic books. I don't need to see them on the screen. You know, look at the young characters that have been introduced in the MCU. Do any of them just say, oh, I can't wait to see a movie with them? Not for me.
Well, I don't like Cassie, and I like Kamala Khan, and I'm okay with the Hawkeye girl, Kate Bishop. Is that who it is? Kate Bishop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm okay with her. I feel like Spider-Man could be, he's young enough to be in that group, you know?
Oh, that's, I guess he is.
But like Patriot,
yeah,
we could get a cool Patriot story.
He was in Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Oh, was he? I can't remember.
Yeah, he was the grandson of Isaiah Bradley.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right.
Along with the Falcon, the guy that Falcon gave his old wings to.
I might have to rewatch that.
He becomes the new Falcon in the comic books.
I'm not looking forward to Teddy and Wiccan,
yes, right?
Wiccan and Hulkling. Oh. I don't, like, they haven't brought them in yet, right? So Hulkling is part Skrull, part Kree, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And is Wiccan, I can't remember, is that Wanda's son?
Yeah, Wiccan and Speed, they were in WandaVision.
Oh, okay. They seem a bit young.
Well, there's been some pictures that have escaped from Agatha, and Wiccan is in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's older.
Huh.
And so, we got Ironheart.
Oh, yeah.
And we got Scar from She-Hulk.
Oh yeah, no, we don't need Scar.
That now tell me, that you're excited about all those characters coming together for a movie.
No, I mean they're gonna have to do something else. I heard like you know articles have come out about rumors of bringing back the original cast to try to save the franchise and everything because people like those characters, which I feel like they have already proven that in the comic book world. If they just look at the comic numbers, they would be able to see the cinematic numbers.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Kevin Feige said the scene with Iron Man is standing. He is not Tony Stark as Robert Downey Jr. in that fashion is not coming back. But I mean, I feel based on the ending of the Marvels, like we're building towards the incursions for Secret Wars.
Right. Yeah. So the incursions, meaning the Hickman Secret Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'll be kind of a combination with the incursions and then also collecting characters kind of like Deadpool and stuff like that for the Secret Wars.
Now, I got to say that Deadpool 3 is probably the Marvel movie I'm most anticipating and looking forward to at this point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Looks great. And we don't know anything about it. It sounds great.
Just because Wolverine's in it, he's in the yellow costume. And if it does bear out that he goes and kills like the Marvel Universe, the multiverse, and goes around, like I think that that could really lead into Secret Wars, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about Deadpool kind of ushering in the Secret Wars and that there will be a selection of the best version of each character to be competing in the Secret Wars. So that might be where Hugh Jackman comes in as the best Wolverine. And they're able to use like Tobey Maguire or stuff like that. Talk of even, you know, Nicolas Cage coming in as Ghost Rider and the original Fantastic Four where Chris Evans might show up as Human Torch instead of Captain America. So I think it's really just going to be a free-for-all is what it sounds like. Yesterday, pictures came out of the Tyler Mayne Sabretooth on set with Wolverine and Deadpool.
Tyler Mayne, who's that?
He was the Sabretooth in the first X-Men movie with the trench coat and the long hair.
Oh, I thought that was a wrestler.
Yeah, Tyler Mayne.
Oh, I thought for some reason it was Triple H. Is that the same person or no?
No, I don't think they're the same person.
Okay, that shows how little I know about that.
I don't know anything about wrestling either.
Okay, so yeah, I thought Liev Schreiber was the best Sabretooth by far.
We will see.
Okay, so how are you feeling? Like, I'm having a hard time understanding, like, all this multiverse stuff. It's not leading one to another. It seems like all these multiverse things are fracturing at the same time for different reasons.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
So we have a fracture in the Marvels. We have a fracture in Loki, which I feel like transcends. It takes a step back from the individual timelines and incursions happening. We have Multiverse of Madness, and then we have No Way Home, right? And so all these things are happening, but they all seem slightly independent of each other.
You're right. There might be something along the lines of just too much of the people in the MCU playing with other universes that everything is kind of cracked.
Yeah, so maybe things break a little easier. I was thinking that like Loki season 2 would explain why all these other things are happening, but it didn't seem to. I have to say season 2 of Loki was very slow, but the last episode was just amazing.
It wasn't amazing for me, but it seemed like for you and everyone else really liked it.
Is that right? It wasn't amazing for you?
No, I wasn't amazed at all. I was pretty underwhelmed by Loki season 2. I thought season 1 was much better.
Oh, dude, I am in my basement right now. I have not spent more than 20 minutes in this basement, and I am looking at a giant spider that is coming out from underneath the wall. Like I'm sitting on the couch and I saw like this like sad looking web, cobweb underneath that. And I was like, ooh, that looks like a dangerous spot. But now the spider is coming out and now I want to burn the house down.
That's what I was just thinking. You need to move or burn the house.
Nobody's here to protect me. Ellie's not here to kill this spider.
I hope this makes the show.
It is huge, man. I don't know what to do.
Sometimes Jennifer will spray it with cleaner when I'm not here.
Yeah, I feel like I want to spray it with like a blowtorch, but there's carpet, so you know. My goodness. Now I'm freaking out, man. Like, I never get scared staying in this house. This house, you haven't been here yet, but it's big and freaky. It's kind of scary. Poor Felicity. One time we left her home, and she was like, yeah, I slept with a hammer next to me. I was like, man, poor girl.
Oh, bless her heart.
The house creaks nonstop. It like constantly sounds like people are walking around in it.
Ooh, how old is it?
It's like over 200 years old.
Oh, Andy. Yeah. Spiders definitely live there.
No, don't tell me that. They killed them all. It's just standing there. I can't, we can't focus on this thing. It's killing me. I'm not going to be able to take my eyes off of it because then it'll be in my face, you know?
Don't you just step on it?
I can't. What if it moves past? I can't.
What if it doesn't?
I'm not going to take that chance.
Andy.
I can't. No, it's like, it's peeking out from underneath the wall. Like, so there's a baseboard heater and it's peeking out from underneath that. So what I'm going to do is walk over and then try to step on it. It's just going to go underneath and my foot is going to be right there at biting distance.
Well, it doesn't run underneath and then jump back out and bite you.
You don't know. He could. I do.
Why don't you get some spray then, a cleaning spray, and just spray it and let it slowly burn?
I'm going to have to do that, but I'm just going to watch it the rest of the show here.
Andy, Elizabeth Ann.
I can't. So let me tell you this, because you called me Elizabeth Ann. So when we first got back here, I took the job. I started September 1st, officially flying solo on this job. One of the first things we did is did an executive director retreat with all the other executive directors who are much older than we are. And we had to go golfing. Have you ever golfed, sir?
I hate golfing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So they asked me if I was going to golf, and I was like, no, I'll be with you, but I am not going to golf. And they stuck me with the president of the organization, and they did that on purpose. And then I was just going to sit back and let him drive. And he said, oh, no, you're driving. I said, I have never driven on a golf course before at all. And it was rain, like it was misting and everything like that. And so it was quite an experience. It got to the point where I was just like, wow, look at that hit. It went straight. Good job. I didn't know what to say. I don't know. They're like, do you want to take a swing? I'm like, no, I don't. I'm perfectly content watching you guys. It looks like you're having a blast. Have fun. So they made me putt. I've never putted on a green before, like a real one. I didn't even make it halfway to the hole. And so they called me Sally the whole rest of the time.
Sally. Oh, Sally.
So then, you know, we go back and the wives and everything, they're like, how'd it go? And they're like, well, Sally over here couldn't even putt. And
oh, no.
Like, yeah, laugh it up.
Well, I'm glad they didn't fire you.
Yeah, I guess so. Yep.
Like, we brought you on here as a test, and we just don't think you're going to work out if you can't play.
That's probably, I'd be like, well, okay, I'm going back to Togo.
Right. The boys want to go. Let's go.
Let's just do it. Man, there have been so many tears of wanting to go back. It's been tough. Aww. Yeah. So like, you know, when your kids are like, I just want my friends. I just want to live back in Togo. And I'm like, oh man. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, that's a downer. What else is on the agenda, man? You wanna wrap up on the film stuff and talk about these two comics that we read?
Yeah. So where would you kind of rank the Marvels if you were to put it on your list of MCU movies? What would it be between?
Well, yeah, I think my scale is changing. What would they be between? Oh, boy, goodness.
Or would it be at the bottom?
No, I still really dislike The Dark World. And I think maybe because it took itself so seriously and it wasn't a good movie, but maybe I'm thinking I got to go back and rewatch it compared to these, you know?
Mm.
I think it's right around Love and Thunder, lower than Love and Thunder, but right around there. I mean, it's in the bottom third or the bottom 25%.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, it's I think Eternals is probably my least favorite of all time. And I think this one might be with it and Love and Thunder. It's been a rough phase 4 and 5.
Yeah, do you see it getting any better?
I think Deadpool is the only thing that's going to save the day.
How crazy is that? How crazy is that sentence?
I know. I know. Yeah, because then we've got, I mean, so we've got well, What If comes out this month, season 2.
Are you looking forward to that?
I am. I liked What If.
Is it the same type of animation? Because that animation was rough.
Yeah, I know you didn't like that, but yes, it is.
That's a shame.
It's we got Agatha, Echo, and X-Men 97. We know those are coming coming out on Disney Plus, and then the next movie will be Captain America 4.
I thought Deadpool was the only Marvel movie now that's going to come out in 2024.
Yeah, the next one will be Captain America 4, but that's in 2025.
Okay. What do you feel about them like cutting back on that and having only one a year or one next year?
Well, I think it's a shame because we all wanted more Marvel content. Like, we couldn't get enough of it. You know, they were doing two movies a year, like, oh, we need more. And they got up to three, but they were three good quality movies a year.
Yeah.
And like COVID hit and they seemed to just forget how to do anything. And all the movies, except for, you know, Shang-Chi and No Way Home, those two are universally, most people like those.
I do not like Shang-Chi.
Oh, well, I said most people.
Yeah, I thought that was a really dumb movie. I did not enjoy that. I would put it on par with lower than the Marvels, actually.
No, go back and watch it. I will not accept that.
In my enjoyment level, I enjoyed Kamala Khan better than I enjoyed any of the characters in Shang-Chi.
Fine.
I may have to go back and watch it again, but I mean, there's nothing in me that says, ooh, I want to watch that again. I actually forgot it existed.
Well, I think so. Next time you come to visit, stay another week. I'll be in a great mood and we'll just watch Marvel movies.
Okay, that sounds good.
But not Eternals. I don't think I ever need to watch Eternals again.
Oh, that was bad. That was rough. So, like, X-Men 97, that's not going to be in the MCU, right?
They're not saying. They're saying that maybe it could possibly tie in somehow, but they're not saying how.
Huh.
So I don't know if it's just going to be another universe, and then, like, Spider-Man Animated Series is another universe, and if they've got some way to canon all this stuff, I don't know.
They recently said in Loki, I think, that the MCU is the 616. Did they not say that?
Yes, and they're wrong. It's not.
Okay, so what is the deal with that? Was there a giant backlash over this?
Well, it's interesting. The girl that plays Ms. Marvel watched Multiverse of Madness, where they also say the universe is a 616. And she said that she called Kevin Feige directly and told him, you are wrong. This is not the 616. The comic book is the 616. She's a big comic book fan, and she is actually writing the Ms. Marvel comic book right now.
But Kamala Khan, the actress, is writing Ms. Marvel right now?
She is, yeah.
How old is she? She looks like she's 16.
I don't know how old she is.
Good for her. Wow, that's awesome. She's
a real fan.
That's really cool. That's really cool. The more I hear about her and the more I see her act, the more I like her a lot, you know, which makes me like the character. I seem to recall that you liked at least the first half of the series, right?
The TV show.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, it was just like episodes 3, 4, and 5 were pointless.
Okay. Yeah. So I enjoyed that. I thought that's where I saw the low budget special effects start to kick in a little bit. But other than that, I enjoyed that. So, I mean, if they capitalize on her success and she continues to do a good job, then I think that there's opportunity there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think they'll probably end up, you know, if they do the whole Secret Secret Wars, you know, and every battle world and everything breaks apart or whatever. I think we'll definitely keep some of these characters, you know, and I think she would definitely be one that they would hold on to.
Yeah.
She's 21, actually. I just looked it up.
Wow, she's writing comics. Good for her.
Iman Vellani.
You know, what do you think is a bigger deal? Like, from your perspective, would you say, wow, she's 21 and she's acting in a Marvel MCU movie, or she's 21 and she's writing a Marvel comic book? Like, which one is more impressive?
Well, I mean, I think she's writing the comic book because she's in the movie.
Sure.
Ha ha.
Ha ha.
What do you think?
I don't know. I think it's more impressive breaking into comics because there's thousands more actors than there are comics.
That's or true.
Comic creators.
That's true.
So statistically, you're in a more elite group, it seems like.
Well, speaking of comics, we read a comic book this week.
We read two.
We did. I only had one on my list.
Really? I thought it was Spider-Woman and Howard the Duck. Spider-Woman number one and Howard the Duck number one.
Whoa, okay. Well, I definitely did not see your and.
Okay.
I'm very, very sorry.
Which one did you read?
I read Spider-Woman.
Okay. Well, okay. That's okay. Because I thought Howard the Duck was kicking off a new series, but it was like a 50th anniversary or something. 30th anniversary or something like that.
I don't know. No. I'm not into Howard the Duck.
It was good if you like Howard the Duck, but it wasn't good. So we'll just do Spider-Woman. All right, Spider-Woman number one. What is your take on this?
Forgettable. That's my take. I had not read... I don't think I've read a book with Spider-Woman in it since Bendis New Avengers.
Okay.
I think it's been a hot minute.
What about Spider-Woman when Bendis was writing her in that motion comic thing?
Nah, I didn't read that. Did you?
I did. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
But I've always liked Jessica Drew's character of Spider-Woman, and I love the stuff with the secret invasion, and I really, really enjoyed her character. So to open up, and I mean, I knew that she was involved with some of the Spider-Man stuff and the whole, all these spider totems and all this, you know, all these multiverse spider people. I don't really care for that at all.
This is real quick. Spider-Woman written by Steve Fox. Artist is Carola Borelli. Cover by Lionel Francis Yu.
Yeah.
The cover is really good, I thought. I like him a lot.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay, all right. Because I'm very interested to know what you think about the art in this book. So I'm sorry I interrupted, but continue. So.
You're fine. You're fine, man. No. I needed that recap at the beginning. So I read that. And it's like, oh, wait, what? She was part of this? Cause she has always, to me, been separate from Spider-Man. You know, Even when she showed up in the 70s. She didn't have anything to do with Spider-Man. She was just Spider-Woman, but they have different origins. They're not connected. Well, now they're connected. And then they bring in the Madame Web and talking to Jessica Carpenter, Julia Carpenter. So that's all just, I don't know, contrived. They made the story fit together because of characters' code names as opposed to making sense. But I digress.
So you don't like the setup. You don't like what they've been doing with the character and intertwining her into the Spider-Man lore. I agree. I don't like the Spider-Man lore. I thought having Ezekiel and Moreland way back with Straczynski's run, volume 2, issue 30 through 35 was amazing. It was the pinnacle, right? But beyond when Dan Slott, like, I didn't know how controversial it was at the time that it was like, whoa, 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 the spider chose Spider-Man, Peter Parker. I think that's what Straczynski had said. And I didn't realize that was a huge thing because I had just started reading comics. But, you know, that does change, like Spider-Man being the everyman and it could happen to anybody type of thing. So now we have Slott and everybody else. I can't remember if Nick Spencer did some of this as well, but the totems and the web of life and everything, it's a little far-fetched. So I really like my Spider-Man, like, separate from everybody else. I like him with Daredevil and the street level characters rather than the spider character.
Yeah, say that one more time.
Oh, I said I like my Spider-Man with the street level characters rather than the other spider characters.
Yes, I misheard you. That's why I was like, say that again. I thought you were saying you like street level characters more than Spider-Man. Like, no, Spider-Man's your favorite character. What do you mean?
The girls were in youth group one time, and the youth leader was like, can you name somebody who you look up to? And one of the guys was like, could it be fictional? And he was like, I guess it could. And Ellie was like, Spider-Man.
Oh, your kids, your girls are just great. And your boys too. I love them.
Thank you so much. They're good. Ellie sends me, she draws these pictures of Venom and then she like slips them to me and she's like, don't show mom. She won't like this, but I wanted to show it to you.
Oh.
And we finally gave her like a phone. She can't call anybody, but it's like an iPod.
Uh-huh.
And she's got Carnage as her background. And, you know, and I say, hey, is this Carnage? She's like, Carnage is a poser. Like, it may be a picture of Carnage, but I like Venom more. I'm like, wow.
He's a poser. I've never heard Carnage called a poser. That's great.
What I did like about this comic, right in the beginning, it gave the map of New York and the gang war. Obviously, it's a gang war tie-in.
Yeah.
So it has the territories and everything, which I thought is good because it'll help me kind of piece together all the players. It looks like a big thing. I know some of these off the top of my head. I don't know the Heat. I don't know Big Ben or the Ringmaster, but I think I know the rest. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, I like me a good Marvel map.
Are you
love me a map or a chart? I love this. Oh yes, a bar graph. me every time.
You're gonna make me pack up a lung, man. Don't make me laugh. Okay.
Don't now listen. You give me a Marvel family tree, and I'm over the moon. I can't even tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, love that stuff.
Yeah. I'm sure you do.
I didn't mean to make you cough.
It's so funny. Because the kids in Togo always make fun of me because when I was teaching them, I would be like, if you were to graph this, the graph would look like this. Because I taught their science class and talking about inverse and direct relationships to things. And so I had five teenage girls in the class, and they laughed. And then it got to the point at the end of the school year, they were just coming up to me, talking to me, you know, on the compound and stuff. And they're like, yeah, Mr. Andy, if you were to graph this, I'm like, oh.
They're jerks.
I thought the art on this was pretty good, but the lack of background makes me think that it was very rushed in the last minute and saying, hey, we need to do a tie-in, which is weird because this is not Spider-Woman Gang War number one. It's Spider-Woman number one, start of an ongoing series, right?
Yeah.
So I don't understand why this would need to be rushed if there's an ongoing series. And maybe I'm wrong about rushing, but it seems like not just the dialogue, but the backgrounds are very not super detailed on a lot of these panels. Like, you have just blank walls, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some of these with Diamondback have just different colors and textures behind them. So, but what did you think about the art in general?
I knew the style that they were trying to go for, and while it wasn't my favorite, I thought it fit the narrative of the story. I wasn't a huge fan, but I guess I could kind of understand. I was more so didn't see that this was not a new beginning of Spider-Woman's life, that she needs a new number one.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Like, this is a great jumping on point, guys. Spider-Woman number one. Oh, we're in the middle of gang war in the first issue.
Well, do you remember when Daniel Way was doing Deadpool, and that was in the middle of Secret Invasion, I think?
Okay.
And it had to do with the Skrulls, and it jumped right in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, his run on Deadpool was really, really good. And he actually started that whole mania where there were, like, 15 Deadpool titles. But that started right there in the middle, dropping that down in the middle of Secret Invasion, I think.
For that cover, that cover of number one, it says Secret Invasion, and he's got, like, Skrulls all over it with them.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So the art here, I thought the art was good, but I thought the coloring was a little strange. I don't know. Did you notice that the coloring was strange at all? It was like really...
It's kind of muted.
Oh, I was going to say bright. It was like I think it was a muted palette, but like the all these reflections and everything, like, where's all this light coming from in the dark rooms?
Oh, okay. We just noticed such different things about everything.
Why is Carol in a circus clown or circus ringleader costume? Why is she? Who thought that this was a good idea?
Why wouldn't she be? She's a clown of a character.
This is awful. Like, this reminds me of Kitty Pryde as a buccaneer.
Mm.
And like she says, like, oh, nice costume. Oh, it's new. Like, why are you not wearing your cap? Like, why do you have she looks like White Rabbit.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I don't get what's going on here, especially if you just have a movie come out. Like, don't you want the costumes to match?
Her new costume, possibly?
It's terrible. I liked the spider web missing the kid silhouette.
Good.
Liked how she hates Hydra and she's going to be a part of Gang War. I like Green Mamba, but none of this is super compelling. You know what I mean? Like, you really got to like this character, I think, to stick with her.
I'm flipping through it right now. I still think the colors are muted, but I definitely notice a lack of background everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, like, there's a couple exceptions. Like, when she's on top of the building, I think that's a cool one. And then I think there's a cityscape that's a cool one. But everything else is just like, wow, you had to do this pretty fast, huh?
Yeah.
It just makes me wonder, like, what was their timeline and their time limit on this? Like, why did they have to put it together so quick? Or really, are they putting so many books out that the guy couldn't take the time? Or what happened to the deadline? And the scripting is not like it would take forever to write. Sorry, Fox or whoever wrote it. I don't recognize that name.
Yeah, they seem like maybe they're newer creators. Maybe this is just his style.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it you know, the dialogue is not dialogue heavy at all. You have, in the first two pages, you have seven lines in the first two pages. In the first three pages, eight lines in the first three pages. And then, like, what are they paying these guys for, you know?
It reminded me of the silent issues that Marvel did in the early 2000s.
This reminded you of that?
That was the first thing I thought of when there were all those pages with no dialogue. Like, what is this?
Enough said issues?
Yeah, enough said.
Yeah, those were cool. Those were cool. I enjoyed those. There was obviously storytelling in the pictures, though. This is not. This is a completely different feel like.
Yeah. It was just kind of an issue. You know, it wasn't amazing. It wasn't horrible. It was just kind of, I don't know.
I have missed this so much.
Yeah. I hope we can get back into this a little bit more.
That would be nice. Okay. So what final closing thoughts on this book?
Let's read something better next time.
Yeah, you said it was forgettable. There was a couple number ones. I was interested in Punisher number one, but that came out a couple of weeks ago. We wanted to be a little bit more current. So we'll keep our eyes out. You know, Marvel's doing number ones all the time. So if anybody has any number ones that they want us to hit, you know how to contact us. We gave all that. Twitter, Facebook, give us a call. 616-755-TINA.
Yes.
So we'll do that. Anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
Yeah, just look us up on... that's the wrap up, isn't it? I was giving the wrap up.
We can do that now. I'm you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do what? We're miscommunicating.
So yes, we are wrapping up. This is the M6P. So thank you for joining us for this episode. We're going to try to do, see if we can do one every couple months. We're not going to let it go a year. I don't want to overpromise or anything, but it's nice to touch base and keep this going. We love comics so much. It's a huge part of our lives. We love Marvel. We love the characters. I'm speaking for Jared in this, but I feel like we, between Bible characters who are tremendously flawed and Marvel characters who are tremendously flawed, we still have that, you know, aspiring to do what's right and have that good character. And that's a lot of that has shaped us in the past, you know, 20, 30, 35 years. And so we love this medium so much. But this is the M6P. We're going to wrap it up. We are sponsored by CRPSavings.com. Again, that's Community Retail Partnership, CRP Savings. That is a discount membership. Go there, sign up, or just email us. We can get you in touch with them. And it basically, for all your office supply needs, Office Depot, Office Max, if you are a company that buys paper or works for a company that buys paper or pens or office supplies, something that spends a ton of money on this stuff, we can get you better prices, better discounts, hook you up. I'm actually going to be going to my organization and asking them where they get their paper from and see if we can get them a better deal as well.
Boom.
Over to you.
We are also, you can check us out on all the socials, of course. Like I said, just do a search for the M6P on Instagram, YouTube, the Twitter, the Facebook, all the things the kids are doing these days. And you can check us out on themarvelousbox.com. For $25, you get over $100 of Marvel graphic novels sent to your door four times a year. It's a great, great value with some awesome books. Nothing is used, and everything is put together by yours truly, Mr. Mayo. We're also sponsored by michaelwebsolutions.com. That's 1B, michaelwebsolutions.com. For all of your SEO and internet marketing needs, check out michaelwebsolutions.com.
All right. Well, Jared, it was great talking to you, man.
Yes, it was so much fun. We're going to do it again.
Yep. So until next time, this is the M6P.
No, you need to, end credit scene needs to be you crying about the spider in the wall.
Oh, we can cut that too. Yeah, I'm still looking at it. It still hasn't moved. I got my eyes.
Maybe it crawled out and died.
That, I actually, while you were talking, I got up and took three steps over there, and it's bigger from over there than it is here.
It's bigger. Well, that's called perspective. My gosh.
Oh, I'm dying.
Sorry.
Okay. Let's jump back into this. You crack me up.